Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior, the one who poured out the Holy Spirit that first Pentecost. Amen. I want to talk about the story of Pentecost, Acts 2, the preaching of St. Peter the Apostle. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you this day for the gift of the Spirit, and may the Spirit ever work on our hearts, our minds. May the Spirit give us faith and understanding. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, come. That is our Pentecost prayer. We've sung it a lot in the hymns. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Yes. Well, a question. Just what do we want the Holy Spirit to come and do? Come, Holy Spirit, come. And do what? It is really quite a remarkable thing for us sinful people, little bitty piddly people on this earth, to cry out for the Holy Spirit. He's holy, he doesn't have any sin, and come and be with us sinful people, as weak and pathetic as we are. Really quite a bold thing we're praying. What do we want the Holy Spirit really to do? Well, let me summarize saying four things today, Pentecost. And the four things come from the words of Joel. Joel was a minor prophet. He lived 750, 800 years before Christ, and he prophesied of the coming of the Spirit. And St. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preaches about Joel and mentions Joel. And as Joel talks about the Spirit being poured out, and Peter preaches about it, I note four things the Holy Spirit's going to do, and this is what we want him to come and do. We want him to come that we can speak. We want him to come so we can see. We want him to come so we can sleep. Now I might have your attention. And we want him to come, in summary, that we all be saved and the world be saved. Let's begin again, Peter quoting Joel. This is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, Peter says, on that day. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Okay, hallelujah, praise God, the Spirit's coming. What's going to happen? Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. First thing, and then a little later, in those days I will pour out my Spirit and they shall prophesy. First thing, prophesy. Prophesy is a fancy word to open your mouth, this thing right here, and use your tongue in your mouth and proclaim the word of God in a simple way, a clear way, a straightforward way, but to proclaim not your opinions, not your speculation, not your own ideas about this and that, but to proclaim the very words of God. So what's the work of the Spirit? What do we want him to come and do? Give me boldness and give me faith that I open this thing right here and proclaim the word of God in my life and all that I say and do, but with my mouth in my words. Prophesy can mean to foretell, to predict the future. And we do that in the church by the Holy Spirit. We do indeed proclaim the final day when the Lord will return. It's a fact. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. And all who believe in Christ are saved, and all who don't go to hell. That's from the word of God, not my opinion. That's what God says. And we proclaim what's going to happen today and tomorrow and the next day until he comes again. And that is that God is gracious tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday also. That God will forgive my sins. He won't change his mind. We proclaim that. That God will be with me in my trials and tribulations. That he will never leave me or forsake me. He will work all things for my good. He'll work among the nations and the events of the world for my good and the church's good. All this we proclaim of the future. God reigns. God will work everything for the good of the church. He will come again. We foretell that because that's what God's word says. And to prophesy also means to foretell, to proclaim what God has done and is doing right now. To foretell, to proclaim the facts of Jesus Christ. To proclaim the birth. That Jesus is God's very Son, the second person of the Trinity. That he was born in a manger. that he lived a perfect life. He did miracles. He taught. It's all right there. He died on the cross for the sins of the world, your sins and mine, the sins of the whole world. He rose again on Easter. He ascended on high, and he will come again. And right now, he reigns at the Father's right hand. This we forthtell, we proclaim. That's prophesying. In summary, to teach and preach Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Come, Holy Spirit, that I open my mouth and will testify of Christ to a world that probably doesn't want to hear often, but I need to do it anyway, to testify of my Savior and all that he is and has done and will do. You know, we all like to talk. We talk as people. The Spirit just changes what we talk about. The world out there talks about money. Money, money, money. I just read on the sports page today, did you know Tennessee, the university, spent $1.25 million on the Tax Slayer Bowl? Really? A Tax Slayer Bowl? We spent $1.25 million for the team to go to that lousy bowl? Although they won, I'm sorry. Money, money, money. Here in the church, we speak of mercy and mercy and mercy and mercy. That God spent the life of his Son, the blood of his Son, to save the whole world. Now that's something you want to hear. The world talks about violence. War, war, violence, violence, killing. In the church we speak of victory. The victory of Christ over sin, death, and hell to comfort all those in the midst of violence, which is all of us. The world ever speaks of politics. It's already starting. And we get sick of it already. Here in the church, we speak of the peace of God that transcends all human understanding, that Jesus reigns no matter who president is. Jesus reigns. He'll work everything for my good. That's what we preach here. The world out there basically says, try and try and try to be a decent human being and try a little harder. Can't we all just get along and try? In the church, by the Spirit, we teach people to trust and trust and trust in a Savior who did it all. It is finished in him. So trust Jesus. The world talks about themselves. Take a selfie and send it to all your friends. Because it's all about yourself. And here we say, get your mind off of yourself, except to confess your sins. And look at a Savior who hangs on a cross. The Spirit changes our language. Come, Spirit, open my mouth that I speak words that really mean something. Secondly, the Spirit, we pray, would come and open our eyes that we truly see. Joel says, your young men shall see visions. Your young men are going to open their eyes and see visions. What does this really mean? Again, it's somewhat figurative language from the Old Testament. The Spirit's going to come and really open our eyes so that we see what? What do we need to see? Well, one thing we need to see, one vision we have to have, is of a dying, lost world out there of 7 billion plus people who have gone astray, who are in darkness, who are in spiritual death, who need the salvation of Jesus Christ. Open your eyes, church, and see that dying world. Get your eyes off of yourself again, and get your eyes on a dying world all around us. Jesus gives the vision for the church before he ascends. He says, go make disciples of all nations, baptize them. There's the vision. See the lost world, every continent, every people. He says to the disciples, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There's your vision, church. Go proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth, to all the dying, dead people. Come, Holy Spirit, that I open my eyes and see beyond my own little world. And my own little needs, and see all the lost and dying around me that need you. That I have a compassionate heart, that I truly love, that I'm kind, and I'll speak of you. See, seeing and speaking go hand in hand. First of all, we got to see the dying world and then speak to the dying world what's going to help them. I had chapel this past Wednesday, our closing chapel here. And I was shaking the little kids' hands as they were walking out. And one little girl walked out, and she was out in the narthex, and she came running back and gave me a hug. And she said, Pastor, I forgot to give you a hug. Isn't that sweet, Pat? I forgot to give you a hug. I'm kind of hard to miss. I realize that when I'm among children. Have you forgot to give someone a hug? You're so busy running around, you forgot. You don't have to literally give a hug, but to love people, to see people, to be kind, to serve, to be gracious. You're so busy doing your own thing. Come, Holy Spirit, open my eyes that I truly can see a lost world. Many people this weekend will walk a cemetery. We often walk a cemetery and think of especially the military people, that men and women that have died for our country. It's a good, honorable thing to do, and thank God for what they've done. We need to take it a step further. Walk the cemetery and thank God for life and those that made sacrifices. But realize there's a cemetery out there. There's a cemetery of living people. They are living and breathing. They might make a lot of money. They might go to UT football games and everything else and seem like they have life by the tail. But they're a cemetery if they don't know Jesus. They're dead. They're the living that are really dead in their hearts. There's a cemetery of living people that still have a chance. They don't know Christ. They're dead in their hearts. And we can be like Ezekiel and prophesy to the dry bones. What a thing to command Ezekiel. Preach to the cemetery, Ezekiel. Oh, right, God. Preach to the dying world. God's Spirit will work and save. Thirdly, come, Holy Spirit, and give me sleep. Not now. So wake up. But again, the figurative language of Joel, your old men shall dream dreams when the Spirit comes. What does this mean, your old men shall dream dreams? Well, when do you dream? When you're sleeping. And that's the idea here is heaven. The Spirit will get us to heaven where all of our dreams will fulfill. And we rest in the presence of God. And we have eternal Sabbath and eternal glory, walking the gold streets and the pearly gates. Oh, the rest, the dream come true, the wonderful sleep ahead of all of us in heaven. And so there's a great promise in these little words that the Holy Spirit, who gives me faith in baptism, I'm baptized, He gives me faith. He doesn't then say goodbye, good luck on this horrible earth. But then He keeps me in the faith. This is why we have a church and a minister. To keep us in the faith. Because the devil wants to take the faith away from you. He'll try everything to get rid of your faith. Everything. And so we have a church where we teach the Word of God. And we absolve sins. And we give the body and blood of Christ. The Spirit uses all this to keep me in the faith. That I keep close to Christ. And then that's not the end. When I die, He takes me to heaven. The Spirit won't fall short. He promises to take me all the way to heaven, that I rest with God forever. We have a lot of kids in town, I understand, this weekend for Destination Imagination. Seemingly a good project for kids to learn and be creative and so forth. And I read where one challenge for the young kids is maybe use your imagination, have a colony on Mars. What do you think? I'd like to send a few people to Mars. How about you? Not any of you. I love you all. But I'm thinking, well, that would be nice, but we're just going to ruin Mars then along with the Earth? And what's the next planet that we'll ruin? Because we're sinful. It's a fine idea. Imagine a colony on Mars. The Holy Spirit doesn't have us imagine a colony on Mars. He has a much bigger idea than that, a much bigger truth than that. He doesn't want to take us to Mars. The Spirit would take us to our mansion in heaven, far above Mars, in glory, in resurrection of the body, in immortality, and power, worshiping God. Again, gold streets and pearly gates. And that's not our imagination. That's a fact, a reality in the work of Jesus that we already have by faith. Our names are written there. Now that's a great gift. And to finish all this up, the Spirit, we pray, would come and save the whole world and save me. That summarizes it well. See, Jesus produced salvation. When Jesus 2,000 years ago lived and died and rose, He produced salvation for the whole world. It's a done thing, but how do I get it? We live 2,000 years later in Knoxville, Tennessee. How do I get this salvation? That's the work of the Spirit. He is like a delivery man, the FedEx man, the forgiveness man, who delivers it to the hearts of people, that they have salvation. It's applied to them. So what if Christ did all this and I can't get it anyhow, in any way? The Spirit makes available through word and sacrament. Again, it's right here. salvation and forgiveness of sins. The end of the wonderful Pentecost story summarizes it. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He applies salvation to me that I have it and I'm redeemed and saved. Before I ever open my eyes and see or open my mouth and speak, before I ever will have heaven, he must give me faith in my heart that I'd be saved. This is the beginning point. I saved it for the last. Never take for granted to say, I believe. In just a minute here, we're going to say, I believe in the creed. And don't say that nonchalantly. I often tell the kids in chapel when we say the Apostles' Creed, say it boldly, not I believe. When you say, I believe in the Trinity, this is a miracle of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we would never believe in God. We'd never believe in Christmas. We'd never believe in a cross. We'd never believe in a resurrection. We'd never believe any of this. We just believe in ourselves and ruin all of life as we always do anyway. To say, I believe in Father, Son, and Spirit. This is a miracle of the Holy Spirit. So say it like you mean it. Faith in Christ. I rely on Christ. I put my hope in Christ. Wow. Never take faith for granted that you have it. Or that your children have it. And make sure your children and your youth have it. Bring them to church and Sunday school. Pass on the faith. Don't assume it's just going to happen because you're a Christian. I read a bumper sticker. And you know what the bumper sticker said? It made me giggle. The bumper sticker said, what if the hokey pokey is what it's all about? Kind of cute. What if the hokey pokey is what it's really all about? For a lot of people, they might think life's the hokey pokey. Having fun, enjoying myself. Smiling, having a cookout, going out on the lake, pleasure, fun, let's do the hokey pokey. So that's what it's all about. And certainly there's nothing wrong with having some good family fun or friends too. But we learn this day life is not the hokey pokey. Life for the Christian is the Holy Spirit. Life for the Christian is faith. Life for the Christian is to keep that faith. By confessing sin, by hearing God's word, communion at the table, praying, inviting my friends. Life in the Spirit is serving my neighbor, not myself. Opening my eyes and loving the world, giving my life for the world. This is true joy. This is true peace. Life in the Holy Spirit, who points me and teaches me of Jesus, that I truly live and will live forever in Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Say with me. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, open my mouth that I speak. Open my eyes that I see. Come one day and give me eternal sleep. Come, Holy Spirit, save me, a poor, miserable sinner. Amen. Let us stand.